This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm the king of New York. BT and Sal back on the fan. Always fun talking with Susan, BT. And bottom line is, look, the Yankees are 2 wins away from the World Series. We can nitpick all we want. And I don't think it's just exclusive to the Yankees. What I think the difference is, at least from my perspective, that the Yankees, like, I've nitpicked with the Mets plenty of times. And yet here we are, where the Mets are 3 wins away from the World Series. I just don't think the Yankees are playing their best brand of baseball. And I think if they continue like this, now Susan said she thinks they're going to play up to their opponent. Maybe they've been playing down to their opponent a little bit. That bullpen is legit. I'll tell you that. Gleyber Torres, what he's done to me has been a difference maker in the leadoff spot. I mean, a guy's getting on base every time, it seems, ahead of Judge and Soto, and eventually it's just a matter of time before Judge starts hitting some more home runs like he did last night. But still, something about this Yankee team, I just don't believe in it, especially when it comes to the next opponent. But look, I mean, all I gotta do is win 2 more games here and then go take on the National League for a World Series, so the Yankees are right where they want to be.
Well, listen, the Guardians have been sloppy, but the Yankees have put stress on them. So you look at game one. And, all right, we all focused on the wild pitches, right? Huh? Wild pitch, score, yeah. Wild pitch. I think there was 5 in total, and there was 3 that, led to runs here. But what's kind of omitted there, because of the ugliness of the pass balls and the wild pitches, was that the Yankees, you know, were issued 7 walks because they had good patience and they had good plate discipline. So they put stress on the Guardians pitchers by having a lot of guys on base. Number, so that's game one, right? Game two. All right, you know, they dropped a pop-up, which allowed the run to score, which was, yeah, I mean, you won't see a major leaguer drop a pop-up like the rest of the year. I mean, that was gross.
It was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing. Now, the wind was playing, but the wind wasn't like it was in game one. So you got to, and he's great.
And remember,
you got to make that play.
Yeah, their team is known for defense, and a guy drops a pop-up like Luis Castillo.
I mean, no question.
In the American League Championship Series.
It was awful.
Come on now.
It was awful, Sal, but. And you look at Tanner Bibby, who, you know, was pulled in the second inning, and all the things that the Guardians were forced to do, deploy their great bullpen early, go to a pinch hitter early. That's because the Yankees put stress on them. So, like, I agree the Yankees could be playing better, but they also could have had a few situations where they didn't capitalize on what the Guardians were giving them. The thing that disappoints me the most is Gerrit Cole last night. That
2 out of 3
was,
now.
I don't know if I want to reach for alarming. It was annoying because you just, man, he could have preserved the pen a little bit. Like, he just didn't have it, man.
Well, that's another issue. And it's against 2 out of 3 starts for him have been bad against subpar lineups, which is why I say in the next round, their lineups, whether it's the Dodgers or the Mets, doesn't matter, are going to be far better than anything the Yankees have seen this postseason. And if you have Cole doing what he did 2 out of 3 times, or Rodon, the bad Rodon, now you're overusing the bullpen. And again, we could see the off days and the stress on the bullpen, how it's going to work out. I just also don't believe that the Yankees are going to be able to dip into their bullpen in the 5th inning every game and have that sustain, you know, or be a way to sustain success throughout the course of a postseason series.
I agree, and that's why Gerrit Cole is paramount to their success. I mean, Rodon was very good the other night, but I don't know that you count on length from him. I think what you get with Rodon is some filth, and then can he handle his emotions, which the first time out he did not, the last time out he did, so you never know. But he's not going 7 to 3. He's definitely not going 8. I don't think you get a ton of depth from Heel, though he could be good because he's filthy, but he's not going deep. Hasn't pitched in forever, and even Clark Schmidt, who I really do like and who I think would have been an all-star, he's not going 7. So Cole was the guy that, you know, who could have been and should be as the ace, the contract and all the things we expect, the bridge to let's give these bullpen arms a little rest and some ice, but he didn't have it.
BT and Sal on the fan. Ed is in Mohegan. What's up, Ed?
What do you say, guys? Listen, you know, so...
What do you say? What do you know?
What do you hear?
Let me ask you. That's right, yeah.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Yes, listen,
Sal says to the caller, who the better team is? You know, the Indians, the Dodgers, it doesn't matter who the best team is. I mean, if I had asked you the same question before the series started, who's the best player the Yankees had? You're going to say Judge and Soto. Yet Stanton and Glaber are showing up. I mean, all of the MVP candidates, Witt Jr., Judge, Ohtani, Lindor's the only one that showed up. So it matters what you do in the playoffs. If any other team did what the Yankees did the other day, they would have said, you know what, they didn't play well, but they wouldn't have said that. They would have said it was a gritty game. You really played tough. You were scrappy. But with the Yankees, you won despite not playing well. The Yankees are just looked at completely different than any other team.
I disagree, Ed. I think the Yankees are...
Of course you do.
What do you mean, of course? What does that mean? I'm confused.
Because of course you disagree. I understand what you're trying to do. I mean,
I'm not trying to do anything.
You can't possibly feel this way.
Well,
go ahead.
I legitimately don't understand what you're talking about. I'm bringing up, like, are your ears working? Because I'm bringing up factual, logical points, and yet you dismiss them, and I'm confused as to why that's the case.
I'm not dismissing anything. What factual did you? What did you bring up?
Do you think the Yankees are playing their best brand of baseball, Ed?
Yeah, of course they can play better.
Okay,
all the teams
so
play
then
better.
Thank you. Okay, so what's the issue? You're making excuses because you're a fanboy. I'm not. I'm telling you how it is. I don't want to hear the excuses. The reality is the Yankees are 2 wins away from the World Series. Congratulations. That's great. That's where they should be. However, I believe for them to achieve the ultimate goal to win the World Series, that's what we all want, right? The Yankees to win the World Series, from a Yankees perspective, they have to play better. Maybe they don't. But I do believe they do, because the next teams that they play, whoever it may be, are better than what they faced. It's not holding the Yankees to a different standard. The Yankees themselves aren't. That Susan's on. She admitted it. Everybody would acknowledge it. What are you afraid of it? Afraid of saying it? You don't like hearing the truth? They have not played their best baseball. End of story. Now, you could say, well, yeah, and they're still 2 wins away from the World Series. And that's great, as BT has been saying. Like, they haven't played their best, but they're still 2 wins away. That's fine.
Help me walk through this with me here, Sal. So, you think the Yankees will win this series in how many?
Well, remember, I thought Guardians were going to be better, and okay. I thought it was going to go... I'm still going to say Yankees in 6 now.
They're going to go 5.
That's okay. A change. Yeah, I mean...
All right. Yankees
I'm not
going to...
Just because I've seen 2 games, by the way, that the Guardians have looked like trash in.
Yeah.
And their lineup is pathetic and way worse than I thought. Mm-hmm. I still think at home it's going to be different, and I just don't believe... I don't believe in the Yankees overall. So, yes, I think minimum Cleveland gets 2 here. We'll send it back to the stadium where I expect the Yankees to put it away.
Okay, and I ask you this more for logistical stuff, just to kind of, because we were told me for the last call about the lack of, you know, probably can't sustain these pitchers, relief pitchers going so often, right? Think about this. So, I think the Yankees get it in 5. All right, I don't think it comes back to the Bronx. I think the Yankees find a way to win 2 out of 3, and I don't think they sweep them. I think it's 2 out of 3. Game 5 would be Saturday, or they wrap it up. They wrap it up Saturday. They wrap it up on Saturday.
Right, 3, 4, 5, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay,
that's what I think. Now, what do you think the Mets-Dodgers series will go?
So
it's got to go 6 or 7. You're going 6 or 7.
I think the Mets are getting 2 out of 3 minimum here.
Okay, but do you think it's 6 or... So it's a 6 or 7 game series?
Right.
All right, so if it's game, and I ask this because so Monday's game 7, if it does go 7, which I think it will.
The Mets-Dodgers.
Okay. Now you're looking at the Yankees if they wrap up in 5 on Saturday, and the World Series then starting on Friday, the 22nd.
Right, so you have a full...
The Yankees having 6 days off.
Yeah.
So maybe you actually are able to do this with these relief pitchers going more than you would think is normal,
but then even,
or sustainable.
Even for Cleveland now, 3, 4, 5, like they can't use the pen the way they did last night in game 3 and again game 4 and probably not even game 3 and then game 5, I wouldn't think.
But they could go back to, and they will go back to Bibby. And how do you say this guy's name?
Bibby, okay. I
think
Sucky, how about that? An inning in the third or whatever it is. Give me a break.
Hey, man, we knocked him out fast, baby. Yeah. Take a shower. 5 hits, get lost, you're out. I think he's going to go. I think they said last night game 4. He will be able to come back game 4. So he does have good stuff. So he's the guy, even though he was not good last night. If he goes deep, maybe that's the middle ground for the Guardians' pen. But I was just curious, like, logistically, if the Yanks could wrap this up quick, which I think they will,
right,
and the Mets and the Dodgers go deep, which I think they will, The Yankees pen has a ton of time to regenerate, which is paramount right. to what they're trying to do.
But I mean in series, and again in the World Series, I'm assuming you're going to have 3, 4, 5
for
right
the World
in a
Series?
Row. Yeah.
I'll check on that. Go ahead, finish your thought.
I believe it goes games 1 and 2, no off day, and then you have the off day after game 2.
Yeah, correct.
3, 4, 5, no off day, and then the off day. So like 3, 4, 5 is where, you know, you could live with all right. You do it in game 1 if you need to, or game 2 if you need to. Uh-huh. Regenerate for game 3. But they can't do it.
It catches up with you.
Yeah, eventually for those three games in a row.
In 4 or 5-ish.
Now, look, maybe game 3, however it lines up, their starter goes 7 and they don't have to do that. But he can't be dipping into the pen in the 5th inning.
Throughout the entire World Series.
Yeah.
Fair. But what I think, and what I'm saying is, I think, again, logistically, it'll prove it, you know, or it won't. If it's 5 for the Yankees and, say, 7 for the Mets or the Dodgers, whether it's the Mets or the Dodgers waiting, then I think based on the bullpen being so fresh, it gives the Yankees a great chance to either steal games 1 or 2 or maybe games 1 and 2. So I agree. It could become an impediment game 3, 4, 5, but it sets them up, in theory, to be better equipped to handle game 1 and game 2. So what I'm saying is finish this fast and just chill and watch the Mets and the Dodgers kick the crap out of each other.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll get back to your calls in a little bit. Right now, we turn our attention to the Mets, who will play Game 3 tonight at Citi Field. We welcome in Howie Rose. Howie's appearance is brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Howie, how are you feeling about this team right now coming home after a split? Game 1 was as ugly as it gets, but that's long distant memory now after game 2. Their resiliency, where are you at feeling about this team heading into game 3 tonight?
Pretty good, aren't you? I mean, they'd have signed up for a split in LA, and here we are.
Yeah, I mean, and the pitching matchup would worry me a little bit, Severino against that lineup. Do you have confidence that, you know, again, against Philadelphia he was good, but broke down against Harper and Castellanos, we saw that. Do you trust Severino against this potent Dodger lineup?
You have to. I mean, there's no choice. And I think, you know, he's proven that he's resilient if he struggles early. You know, you could still push him through 5 or 6 and then turn it over to the bullpen and hope for the best. So, yeah, I mean, Severino's been good enough in this postseason as he was during the year to at least inspire the confidence that he's going to keep you in the game, if not a whole lot more. Now, what happens? We'll find out tonight, but I feel good.
There you go. Listen, it doesn't really matter. They have no influence on the game, just like we have no influence of the game when we root on our teams or boo the other teams. I'm curious, though, did you get the sense that Dodger fans were taking the Mets serious? Like, all right, we know that they won some games, but now it's time to dispose of these guys, or wow, these guys really are legit. How do you think Dodger fans feel about the Mets?
I couldn't tell because I couldn't hear them above that ridiculous public address system that they have out there. That was, seriously, huh? I had to keep my headset on between innings, which I don't do, because I couldn't hear myself think, and I had to try to speak over that stinking thing. And Madge, God bless him, he was riding the gain up and down on the board to make sure that I could at least hear myself, because you know, just a little broadcasting 101 here. If you're trying to preserve your voice, as we all are at this time of year, the last thing you need to do is be running it as high as I was, trying to outdo the background noise, if you will, so that I could even hear myself. Because when you compete with that, you put such a strain on your vocal cords that it can cause a problem. So there's an old friend of mine, you guys wouldn't remember, his name is Doug Gould, and he wrote for the New York Post. He covered the Mets and then later the Islanders. He covered the Islanders during their dynasty years. And we used to have a lot of fun back then covering games and whatnot. And well, again, this is all relative, but back in 1980s decibel levels, the noise at the Coliseum from that organ was relatively deafening, and we all couldn't take it. Doug Gould actually got up out of his seat, walked to the back of the press box, found the outlet where the organ was plugged in, and he unplugged it. So for that, Doug Gould, A, should win a Nobel Prize, and B, I would be happy to pay for his trip out to Los Angeles if he could do the same thing.
That is fantastic. I love it. Howie Rose with us here. BT and Sal on the Fan. Mets and the Dodgers in Queens. Next couple of games going to be absolutely insane. All right, we know what Lindor's done, and we know what Vientos has done, but Vientos, to me, here's why he's even more intriguing, and I said this to Sal the other day. It was both hits that went to basically center and right field. One, of course, was the granny. I said, man, when he swings and misses and he's vulnerable and kind of flailing away at that low slider on the other side of the box catcher's shin guard, then he's a little vulnerable. If he can tighten that up, which he has at times this year, he's made great adjustments. I think Vientos could be about, when he's in his prime fully, I think he could be a 285, 290 hitter, which now is like equivalent to like hitting 310, 312, 315. I don't think he's just a power guy. I think he's got a chance to be foul pole to foul pole, high average hitter. You agree?
Well, he's shown what he can do the other way. And a lot of that has to do with some drills that he was doing while he was at Syracuse. JPR and Sebia, the former big league catcher, is the bench coach there. And Dickie Scott's the manager. And I saw JP at the ballpark last homestand, during the Philly series.
Yeah.
And we were talking about Vientos, and he was telling me that Mark really got into doing these bat speed drills where first you're using a very heavy bat and then you're using a very light one, and it's all designed to just get a better feel for the bat and ultimately to be able to stay back a little longer and wait a little bit more.
Yeah.
And largely he's been able to do that, and you've seen the results. Now, power hitter like that is probably always going to have a relatively high chase rate. It's just, I guess, just part of what comes with the territory. But, the year that Mark Vientos has had has been nothing short of incredible, because he wasn't on the radar for this, especially when they went out and spent the $12 billion to sign J.D. Martinez. But to Mark's credit, and I think this is where his season turned, not necessarily at the big league level, but he was very disappointed in spring training after they got JD. Now, he knew JD a little bit because they'd worked out together in the past in Florida. And as disappointed as Mark was, JD pulled him aside. And I remember having a conversation with Mark where, he was pretty down. But after that, JD kind of got with him a little bit. And Mark went down to Syracuse, and instead of sulking like a lot of kids would do and maybe struggling for a couple of weeks under those circumstances, he was exactly the opposite. And he got into some of those drills that JP was telling me about. And when he came up, remember, he hit a home run to win a game against the Cardinals, and they sent him right back down.
Yes.
Because he was only up because I think Marte was on the paternity list. But he was patient, and credit as well to Dickie Scott and JPR and Sebia, because they helped Mark stay focused. Mark's the guy who did all the work, and he gets all the plaudits, but I want to throw some flowers out to Dickie Scott and JPR and Sebia, too.
Yeah, Howie, I have no doubt what Lindor and Vientos are going to do. I mean, they've been doing it consistently all year long, especially once Vientos came up, and then Lindor, of course, in the leadoff spot. I do think the Mets are going to need Nimmo or Alonso to really get going if they are, in fact, going to win this series against that potent Dodger lineup. You think the health is the biggest issue for Nimmo? Why the inconsistencies for Nimmo this postseason?
Well, I think that's part of it, and it didn't just flare up. It just became publicly known. I didn't know about it either. I don't think any of us in the traveling party did until he mentioned it in a story in The Athletic a few days ago. But interestingly, whereas all the indications were that he's got to live with it, he'll probably need a PFP after the season's over, whenever that is, Brandon actually was saying the other night after game two on the way back, he said it's actually starting to feel a little better. He's been taking some laser treatment to that, to the heel, which has helped some, But what's ultimately going to heal it is rest along with the treatment, and there's no rest for the weary this time of year. So as long as he's able to go out there without being a liability, and he clearly has not been that, then he's going to keep running out there every day and night and hopefully all the way to the Canyon of Heroes in the best-case scenario. Then he can sit down in the motorcade and relax.
Yeah, exactly. Then he could rest. And it sounds like they're not going to make a change, but would you consider having Nimmo DH and maybe put McNeil in left?
I wouldn't rule it out if it becomes more of an issue, but if things stay the way they are right now, I'd be surprised if that happened. But it certainly is open for discussion, I think.
I'm sure you have an opinion on, listen, it's one thing not to win a Gold Glove when you probably, another thing not even to be a finalist. I don't know if you missed it with travel, whatever, but
yeah,
not a finalist. What's your reaction to that among three?
Well, I shrug my shoulders because it's all about being the last man standing. And that's how he'll have the last laugh. I mean, certainly watching him every day, it's hard to imagine that there were three shortstops any better qualified. But you know what? Who cares right now? If that burns a fire within Francisco that somehow, and I don't think it's possible, drives him any higher than he's been driven over the course of this season, but specifically the postseason, well, good. Use that as motivation, just as Vientos did when they walked Francisco intentionally ahead of him to load the bases the other day. But I love Francisco's focus. I love that he's talking about the only thing that matters right now, and that's winning the whole thing. And 55 years ago today at 3:17 p.m., the Mets won the whole thing for the first time in their history. There'll never be a greater moment than that for this franchise, for those who remember the very beginning. But that's what they're aiming for. And that's what they can all reflect on today, if anybody cares to bring it up.
Yeah, that's great. And it's Howie Rose, of course, BT and Sal. Not only is he saying the right thing, but even his celebrations are understated when everybody else in the Mets universe is going bonkers. You know, Lindor circling the bases, no matter if it's Atlanta or obviously the Grand Slam, he is just locked in and lasered in. And I'm curious, because we know that the back obviously plagued him, Howie. Is it, like, is the pain completely dissipated, or is it still a pretty arduous day-to-day maintenance thing just to get ready to play baseball? Where is he physically?
You know, it's a good question about what he's going through before a game. I should ask him relative to what he was going through 2 or 3 weeks ago, if his preparation has changed or lessened a little bit just from the medical physical standpoint. But I think that one thing we've learned over the years is that when back problems crop up, they can become somewhat chronic. But the key here is that for all of the imaging that they did, and they did several different things, there was absolutely nothing structural that was damaged, all muscular. And that's the key. That's a very important point. So I remember talking to Francisco after this came up. I asked him if he'd had anything like it before. And he actually told me that he had the same thing way back in 2013. Now, that's 11 years ago. Francisco's 30 now, so he was 19 then. He said it took about 3 weeks before it got better. Well, trust me, as you get older, 3 weeks turns into four and so on and so forth because, you know, as you age, you just don't recover as quickly. But with all of that having been mentioned, it certainly appears that it's less of an issue now. I don't see him wincing as much as he experienced, you know, going back to Atlanta and that last week of the regular season. So I'd like to think that it's less of a factor now, but it's a good thought you've put in my mind to ask him later
on.
If,
you're welcome, Howie. I mean, listen, you're not perfect. I got to help you out and pick up the loose ends where I can.
We're all journalists here.
You know, one thing I'd like to see is them stop grabbing him and picking him up, hugging him and picking him up after he hits a big home run. I worry about that back. Howie, what would you
do? Maybe that's therapeutic. Maybe it's
That's right. Maybe you stretch it out a little bit. Like,
I know, but I'm nervous every time they do it. What would you do for Game 5 here? And the reason why I ask, because it's not just about Game 5. It's also about how they would potentially use Peterson in Games 3 or 4.
Absolutely. It depends how you get to Game 5. After what we saw in Game 1 from Kodai Senga, it has to give you pause, significant pause. You know, I don't know what you could say about that other than flush it down the toilet, but it also depends on where he is between what was last Saturday and a potential start in the fifth game, which even though he didn't throw many pitches, would only be on 4 days' rest. We all know how they've tried to, you know, back up his appearances so that it can at best replicate something close to the way he trained in Japan, which was pitching only once a week. I don't know. You're exactly right. You know, whether it's Peterson and how they might have to use him tonight and or tomorrow or however else you get there, you know, if they get to Thursday, what's today, Wednesday? So if they get to Friday, which would be game five, they're down 3-1. Well, you're only one implosion away from the first tee at that point. So you have to hope that however they get to Friday, that if Senga's the option, he's the best option. And I would hold my breath as to whether or not he can be the best option. But they know. They work him internally. They have all the metrics that tell you where he's at physically as best they can break it down. And let's see what happens tonight and tomorrow first.
He was a mess, man. I mean, there's performances where you labor and command. You don't just have quite the entire repertoire going. I mean, he looked lost. McCabe missing by a foot and a half. Velo was down. 30 pitches, yep. 10 strikes. Yep. That is alarming to the point. I wouldn't start him the rest of the series. I really wouldn't, Howie. I wouldn't start him.
Well, it's scary. The thing of it is, though, you can't use him out of the bullpen in all likelihood. It's very hard to imagine that unless you have enough lead time to know that you're going to need him. I mean, he's got this long, drawn-out routine. This is not like Edwin Diaz, who you call down there and he's ready to go in 45 seconds, because Edwin needs very few pitches to be ready. Senga is probably the polar opposite of that. So remember, you're down one pitcher on the staff anyway, because without Avino off the roster, you've got one extra player on the bench, which is great because they needed that extra left-handed bat in McNeil, but you're one pitcher short relative to that lineup construction in the bullpen. And if you're not going to use Senga as a starter, can you comfortably use him in relief? That's a rhetorical question. My answer would be only if he's got a lot of lead time to get ready. And that's a very tough scenario to devise during a postseason situation.
Historically, Howie, and you've been there for it all, the Mets have had a great advantage in the postseason at home. For me, I go back to 99, the division series, the 2000 division series. You saw what happened in 2000 NLCS, even last round against Philadelphia, where they took the Phillies out in four. Do you think they have a significant home field advantage in this series against the Dodgers?
You can think so if you want, but remember, I'm old enough to remember 1988 when that advantage was on the verge of getting them up 3-1 over the Dodgers until Mike Scioscia came to the plate. So, you know, I throw all of that out the window because, again, your starting pitcher is going to dictate a lot of what happens. Yeah, the crowd in New York is going to be a little more intimidating or involved than the Dodger Stadium crowd generally is, but you know, to me, that's just an ancillary sidebar thought, which rarely comes into play. Now, came into play? And it had nothing to do with New York. In Philadelphia, and you guys, again, wouldn't remember this, but back in 78, I think, when the Dodgers and Phillies were playing in the league championship series, the Philly crowd was all over the Dodgers, and they looked intimidated then, and yet they came back and the Dodgers won the series anyway. So, I'm serious. I forget who was on the mound. Was it Bert Hooten? I think it was Hooten or Tommy John. I think it was Bert Hooten. And the Philly fans absolutely drove him to distraction. I don't think Met fans are going to be able to do that to Walker Buehler necessarily, but they'll try, and that's half the fun.
Yeah. I didn't watch that series. I was just I was a couple of years old. Of course, I know what happened because the Yankees wound up beating the Dodgers in 78. But as you're going through that, I'm just thinking Steve Carlton, Ron Say, I mean, you know, Steve Garvey, Mike Schmidt, some of the names, Pete Rose in that series, my God. One more thing for you, Howie. So Yankees fans are focused on the Guardians for sure, but the other piece of the brain wanders to the Mets. And then the Met fan is obviously locked in and immersed in this series, but on some level, their brain wanders over to the Yankees to get a little payback from 2000. Whether it's the press box, whether it's on the field, whether it's on the bus, how much Subway Series stuff, even if it's quiet, how much you hearing? Anything?
I'll give you a nice round number. Zero.
None?
I'm serious. Who cares?
I care. We care.
Well, you guys can have all the fun you want with that, if that's what develops. Mm-hmm. But I'm not thinking about that because I'm not the least bit interested in anything but tonight's game and then tomorrow's and then the one after that. And if it comes down to a Subway Series, well, you can have all the fun you want with that. But all I care about is seeing if this team can win seven more games. And I don't care if you have to go to the Bronx or Timbuktu to get them. All that matters is that they get them. The Subway Series is going to be for the fans if it develops. But we're a long, long ways away from that, just from the Mets' perspective. As far as the players are concerned, believe me, one thing I've learned being around professional athletes all my life, at least my professional life, is that they have an incredible innate ability to stay on point. And right now, on point means tonight. And, you know, Bobby Valentine used to have an expression that became somewhat cliche, and I know it's boring and talk radio and social media doesn't want to hear it, but Bobby used to say all the time, the most important game we're playing this year is the one we're playing tonight. And that is more to the point than ever when you get into the phase of the season the Mets are in right now. It's a National League Championship Series that's tied one game apiece. And if you start thinking anything behind and beyond tonight, other than what the coaches and staff have to do preparatory to the rest of the series, then you're missing the point. All these players care about is tonight. Trust me on that.
All right.
You know, whatever internal discussions there might be are very pragmatic and along the lines of what they have to do to beat the Dodgers in game three. They can't afford to let outside noise in. Mets, because that would be a distraction.
Mets tonight, Howie, of course, game three, Citi Field, going to be wearing the black jerseys.
Oh, they
now
are?
That I have a problem with. That, you know, let me again go back 55 years ago today, take a look at the pictures. Go back 38 years on October 27th. Look at the pictures. They weren't wearing the schmatas they're going to run out there tonight. if anything worries me, you guys can talk about all the X's and O's you want, but I worry about killing the mojo wearing those things.
Couldn't wait to bring it up. Yeah, I was literally at the top of my list of questions because I know how much you hate it. And just for me, it is you're worried about the mojo a little bit. Severino likes them, so that's why they're going to wear the black jerseys. But I knew, Howie, you'd feel the same as me, these black jerseys. I don't know. I'm a little concerned about game three tonight with that.
This is the only time I am going to go into talk radio mode. What in the world are they thinking?
No, man.
Don't kill the mojo.
Thank you, Howie. That's we appreciate it.
Kill the mojo. And don't tell me, by the way, because I've seen this already on social. Don't tell me, well, they wore them in 2000. They wore them in 2006. They wore them in whatever. How'd that end up?
Yeah.
Huh? Was
pretty,
there a parade?
Pretty well for me.
Huh? Were the Mets in it? Huh? Burn them. Burn every last one of them.
There you go,
He's
Howie.
Getting worked up. Attaboy, Howie. Come do the show with us tomorrow, 10 to 2. BT, Sal, and Howie. Let's go.
Talk to my agent.
The great Howie Rose. Howie, have a good call. We look forward to talking to you next week.
If they let me in the building now. Thank you.
So you don't like them? He doesn't like them?
Well, I don't mind the jerseys myself. Like, visually, they're good looking.
Yeah, I like the black
I don't have
look.
A major issue with them. But in this particular spot, I didn't like reading that they're going to be wearing the black jerseys. The first home game, like if you tell me game four or five or after a loss you want to change up the mojo, the first home game of the championship series, you're going to wear the alternate jersey?
It could have been the City Connects. It could have been worse.
Well, they're probably not even allowed to wear those. I mean, and that's I'm with Howie on that. I don't love the mojo behind that one. All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get back to your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019.
Sounds like Dodgers 7, Mets 2 because of those black jerseys tonight. Hey,
let me just say, by the way, BT, yes, Howie's appearance was brought to you by Bigelow Tea. Grab a mug and tea proudly.
There you go.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the fan. Let's get in some calls here. Fun talking to Howie. Fun talking to Susan as usual on Wednesday. You got the Mets game three tonight. NLCS out at Citi Field. Yankees an off day, travel day. They'll be headed to Cleveland for games three, four, and potentially game five if necessary. Of course, Yankees will be looking to sweep them and not make that game on Saturday necessary. But the Yankees will be in Cleveland. Tony is in White Plains. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Sal, BT, pleasure to talk to you both. I love the fire you guys bring every day.
Thank you.
You got it. I had to make one point and one quick question.
Go ahead.
BT, BT, in your opening, you mentioned about Judge facing four different pitchers yesterday.
Yep.
And how Reggie, you know, probably didn't have to do that back the day.
The three home runs.
Instantly that came to mind. You had Houghton, Sosa, and that bomb into the black off Charlie Huff.
I just meant like more on a night-to-night basis where it's more,
gotcha. You know.
But no, there's no doubt. Of course, the three home runs, no doubt.
Yeah, incredible. And by the way, if you get a chance, look it up on YouTube. Howard Cosell's call is awesome. My question for you guys is, yes, I know they're winning, and if it ain't broke, you don't fix it. And I doubt Boone will do this. But what is your level of concern about the black hole the cleanup spot has been going back into the last couple of weeks of the regular season?
He's been ice cold, man. Now, I don't think he'll make the change for game three because Austin Wells is really his only good at bat was his last at bat where he rocked, you know, five foul balls that were right on the screws. I mean, listen, when you're celebrating foul balls, you know, it's a little bit of a chilly ride here. But he did line out to right field. So I wouldn't do it now because I think that Boone, as a player's coach, may interpret that as, hey, maybe a foreshadow, he's getting going. So I would do it one more game if he's reversed back to empty at bats and it's 0-2 as soon as he steps in the box, which is what's happening every night for Austin Wells. Like, he swings through a fastball. It's 0-2 every at bat. Like, no exaggeration. Not yet. I think he gets one more game there, and if he doesn't do well, I think they put Stanton
and
there.
And Susan basically said that before. She didn't give it definitively, but said, I'm not going to change anything. The winning,
not yet.
Least right now. But if you did, you're going to put Stanton there. Then that leaves you open to being...
Do we do it with the righty,
I'd go Rizzo there, especially if he...
You could.
Yeah, well, you for could. Now. Now, you again, could. Who knows? He's playing with broken fingers. Is this going to keep up if he's feeling the pain? But I think Rizzo might be a more logical choice than Stanton. Mike is in Massapequa. What's up, Mike?
How are you guys?
Good, Mike. How are you?
What's going on, bud?
I'm calling today. I'm a longtime listener, and I wanted to bring up a story from years ago because I'm listening to Sal, and I understand he's a Met fan, but, you know, years ago the Yankees were playing Cleveland, and Kluber was pitching against Sabathia, and Kluber was the best pitcher in baseball by far. So I get through to Mr. Francesa, and I said to him, you know, you ready for a big 5-2 Yankee win tonight? He went on to call me an idiot and said Corey Kluber is the best pitcher. Yeah, Corey Kluber is the best pitcher in baseball. You're a moron. Don't call back no more, right? Okay, the Yankees ended up getting 5 runs from Kluber, and they ended up winning the game 6-2, and he never gave me the opportunity to go back in. The point that I'm bringing out is this, and I understand where Sal's coming from. The Mets are playing tremendous.
No, but it has nothing to do with the Mets. It has to do with keep it to the Yankees. Nobody's talking about the Mets. But anyway, go ahead, Mike.
Right, so here's the deal, right? Each day when these players wake up, today is the day that matters. It doesn't matter if you sweat the Yankees, beat them up, did this, did that, you're playing the greatest baseball ever. What matters is what you do today, right? And I'll give you an example of something.
Right, but Mike, you're right, Mike. But if each day that goes on, the Yankees still don't play their best baseball, my question is why would you have confidence that they would then beat a better team? Like, I'm trying to warn you and say that this type of play is not going to be, you're not going to be able to get away with winning when you're playing less than when you face a better team. Now, luckily for them, there's only one more team to go.
And you have a great point. But he is how I'm looking at it as a diehard Yankee fan. All year long, we had Soto carry the team. We had Judge carry the team. We did such terrible things in the lineup and so on and so forth. You know, if this team does come together with Volpe and with Gleyber and Verdugo starting to now if Judge and Rizzo and Soto, you know, do their thing, this is a dangerous team.
Of course. Okay? Yes, of course, Mike, and thank you for the call. We appreciate you checking in. Yes, but that's the point. To win the World Series. Now, this year, a great team is not going to win the World Series. Whether it's the Mets, Dodgers, or Yankees, it doesn't really matter. They're not all-time great teams. Just look at the quality of player on the sport.
And I agree
maybe,
with that.
And maybe that's by... We said that months ago.
Totally
like, whoever
agree with
wins
that.
The World Series is not going to... Like, and I love how everybody's like, well, Sal's a Mets fan. Yeah, that's great. I grew up a Mets fan. Trust me. That has nothing to do with my analysis when I give it to you here for New York Sports. I've criticized the Mets left and right all year long.
You same guy came in screaming after a win that Diaz wasn't effective enough after a Mets win.
Last week, they're not good enough. They don't have it. When I look at the Mets lineup, I think they're better than the Guardians. I think they could beat the Dodgers. I think they're better than the Yankees. But I still look at them and be like, The bullpen, I don't know how the hell they're doing it. But somebody that's not an all-time great team is going to win the World Series. So why not the Yankees? All I'm saying is I don't think Kansas City is any good. Cleveland has proven to be crappy themselves, and there's still a series to play here. We'll see what happens when it goes to Cleveland. But they haven't been very good. Yanks are showing some very, very good signs. Also some flaws in there that would have me concerned about stepping up another class and opponent with whoever they may face in the National League for the World Series.
Now, by the way, I'm gonna put the Mets aside for a moment because then it comes Yanks-Mets and It gets a little convoluted, even though I know it's applicable on a lot of levels, and I would love Yankees-Mets World Series. I would love that. But so I'm going to take the Dodgers, right? So the Dodgers are three wins away from getting to the World Series, as we know. And in the seven games that they played so far, Ohtani's batting .222. Mookie Betts is batting .192. Max Muncy's hitting .208. Will Smith is hitting .087. And they're hitting .227 as a team. And their team OPS is below .680.
Right.
Nobody's running around saying that maybe they are in L.A. I don't really know. But like, if the Dodgers don't significantly improve how they're playing, Dodgers can't win the World Series when the stats are basically the same exact thing.
But let me ask you, if you think those numbers, if they keep up, you think they're beating the Mets? I don't. If Ohtani doesn't get going here, they're dead. They may not get back to L.A.
Yeah. I think that they can win without Ohtani. I don't think that they can win without Ohtani and Betts.
Like,
if Ohtani's cold and Betts goes bonkers and Freeman and Smith runs into a cup, I think, like, I'd say Oscar, like, they don't need Ohtani like the Mets need Lindor. Put it that way. I mean,
the Dodgers,
if you get them all going, it's a luxury, but the Mets, Lindor must rake. Ohtani, it would be nice if he rakes. I don't think it's as paramount to the Dodgers' success as it is for the Mets.
We'll see. I mean, their lineup is certainly deeper on paper, and we're going to see how it plays out. But if the Dodgers mess around and don't get going, they're going to get beat. They'd be lucky if they see a Game 6, potentially. And trust me, it has nothing to do with being a quote-unquote Met fan. When I do this show, I am not a Mets fan. I am a sports talk show host that is a realist and unbiased with all the teams.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
I'm Jed Lapinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.